I want to begin with a question. In fact, I want to carry on this question through the whole of the next few minutes. How do you feel when you hear or read a story like the one we heard just now from the book of Joshua, where the people are called to sanctify themselves and then send the Holy Ark of the Covenant into the middle of the River Jordan and cross entirely on dry ground? Does that create a reaction of incredulity, disbelief, inspiration? Do you just skip over such an account because it just seems so unreal that it doesn't really speak to you at all, not even a little bit? Or how about the psalm for today? How does the idea of God sitting on high, sitting on a throne directing the earth, or reigning, as it says in the prayer book, over the heathen? That was my father's favorite insult. Great Northern Irish accent. Ah, get out, you great heathen, was his favorite way of letting you know he was displeased. Is that understanding of God just a little bit over the top for you? Too much for your understanding, if you have one, of the divine? Or the deep dive that we had this evening into Hebrews, incarnational theology that our reading from that letter shared, the idea of the divinity of Christ making him over all the angels. Is that a worldview that chimes with your own sense of reality? And I mention all of these because I think that lots of folk, well, over 90% on the west coast of Canada, according to the last set of figures that I saw, at least 90%, find what they feel to be magical thinking, as expressed in those passages, somewhat off-putting. They find stories of miracles, pictures of God on a throne, or images of angels worshipping doesn't speak at all to where they are today. Such images feel distant, divorced from reality, and they don't resonate necessarily with our daily lives. And that's fair. In fact, I would say the same in lots of ways. When we allow such images to distract us from engaging from the very real, very difficult things which fill our lives and surround us in our everyday living, then indeed they do feel irrelevant and unhelpful. If we take these images literally, as some Christians do, then I believe we're missing out on the many layers of meaning that these images and ideas are meant to have, missing out on the depth of these stories and the way in which they're meant to impact our daily lives, which they are. John Dominic Crossan, progressive theologian and writer, famously said, "My point once again is not that these ancient people told literal stories and we're now smart enough to take them symbolically, but they told them symbolically and we are now dumb enough to take them literally." These images are meant to inspire us, challenge us, stir up our faith. And such symbols and allegories are there not to believe or disbelieve, but to meditate on and reflect on, to give us a vision to take us into the everyday. Take the story from Joshua. It's effectively one of the foundation myths of the Hebrew people. Following on from the story of Exodus, as the tribes of the Israelites enter into what they believe to be the promised land. It was a reminder that their identity is rooted in the promises and presence of the divine. The rituals of sanctifying themselves, the precision of how near they could not get to the ark, how it is to be reverenced and carried, the promise of God's presence symbolized by this object, is there to remind readers and hearers of this story that God is the grounding upon which faith and life are to be built. This was a justification for a society in which temple, ruler, and people were considered to have a wholly linked symbiotic existence. Now, many of us are rightly nervous about that kind of theocratic structure for society, and John preached brilliantly about that some weeks back. But at the same time, the idea of being deeply rooted in faith, valuing the spiritual, the beautiful, the transcendent, in art, in music, in poetry, in movement and dance, is something that many or most of us do value. As we dropped Sabina's son at the airport yesterday, I was struck by a quote on the wall under a number of paintings from the Greater Victoria Art Gallery, which went something like, now I'm hoping I remember the quote, I think I remember the gist of it anyway, the measure of a society is how well it integrates art into its daily life. This part of the story of Joshua obviously isn't about art, but I would say it's not a far stretch to say that it's trying to remind us of integrating that sense of the transcendent, which many would call spirituality, into our daily lives. Likewise, I don't believe the psalmist literally thinks of a God sitting up there on a throne somewhere, directing the ways of this world in the way that the gods of Olympus played chess with the lives of mortals. Instead, this poetry is seeking to inspire the people with a picture of God beyond anything we could comprehend. A reminder of one, as one student at theological school was told recently, the good news is that there is a God and you aren't it. These readings, and I'm not going to go into the lesson from the book of Hebrews, as I said something about incarnational theology this morning, and I'm already quite prone to repeating myself, so I'm going to skip that one. But all of these readings are filled with symbol, myth, and meaning-laden images to encourage us to gain perspective, to find our part in this world, and then to send us out refreshed, inspired, to do the work of the divine in the world, which, as the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, says very clearly, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Thanks be to God. Amen.